You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As far as Pete and the start that he has, and just remarkable, if you look at all the numbers, just incredible. And I brought this up when I think it was another day that Boomer was out with you, where you know, Pete Alonso and maybe signing him to a contract extension in the season.
Yeah.
And then the other side of that, it's a tough thing to argue, because if you're just taking the emotion out of it, or who he is and the team and the history with the team, you know, if you're the player and the agent, you're like, well, why the hell would I not opt out and shop myself to get the most amount of money at the end of the season? And then if you're the Mets, you're like, well, why would I end up paying him in the middle of the season when he could have a devastating injury at some point the rest of this season, or his production goes way down? So I understand those parts of it. But at the same time, this was a ridiculous negotiation.
Sure was.
And you came up with this contract that made him the highest paid first baseman for a year. You know he's going to opt out. And he loves it here. The fans love him. Mm-hmm. He still has a number of good years left. Why can't we just, like, drop that crap when it comes to a thing like this?
I agree. Especially with one of your own guys. And I'm not saying that he deserves or needs or should get a 10-year deal. Not at all.
No.
But the idea that you wouldn't at this point, because he is older, he's not 25, and I get that and the whole thing, even though I think these contracts are beyond stupid. And I mean, even, like I've said, and I mean this, to me, the best case scenario for the Mets is that the Mets win a couple, or at least one, win a World Series in the next 5 years, and they let Soto walk and don't have to pay him when he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be a great 5-year run, and then let someone else give him $50 million a year after that, but whatever. I'm with you. We've seen other teams do this with younger players, like the Rays have done it, the Braves have done it, the Padres just did it with, I forget the kid's name, but you get my point from last week. Why not even go back to the original offer? And you know what? At that point, if he declines it again, from this point forward, it's on him.
Yeah.
But put it out there one more time. And here, and you want to know the answer to what you just said? Why should the player not shop himself? Here's why. He just tried and failed miserably.
Yeah, coming off a bad year.
I understand, but he's a year older now, too.
Yeah. And also, you don't know from his perspective, too. Like, if they come to him in May or June and he's still on this heater, you know, you want to take advantage of that. I mean, he could go in a miserable slump for the rest of the year. And I just, and you're right. Not, it's not a 10-year deal.
No.
It's not like something that Aaron Judge got at his age when he was at 30 years old, even though he's going to earn every penny of that. Just how about this? You keep, obviously, this year the same.
Yeah.
You tear up the rest of the deal, and then you tack on 4 more years.
I couldn't agree more.
Then you got your contract. Now, David Stearns and Scott Boras, that would be completely out of their comfort zones.
I get it.
So the odds of it happening are slim, but I would just love to see that.
You know what it does? It creates a cloud that just hovers over the team and the player that does not need to be there. Yeah. Just doesn't. And for all the people that say he's not, I'm so tired of people that say he's not a good first baseman. He actually is a good first baseman.
Yeah.
He might not have been when he came out of Florida. Maybe he wasn't the best defensive first baseman. And I am not saying he's this version of Hernandez or Mattingly even now. But he is a damn good first baseman that you feel very comfortable with out there every game.
Yeah, there's never been a player I can remember with the Mets that has climbed up their all-time stats charts in multiple categories who at this age was basically looked at as he's either going to be here or not be here by the end of the season. It's in 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. too. Like, I mean, think about, like, we without any sort of controversy, like Darryl Strawberry, obviously we know all the issues and things, but the trade to the Dodgers, I don't think that's a comparison to Pete. You know, how you were a big Strawberry fan. You remember how old he was when he got traded?
Well, he was a free agent when he went to the Dodgers.
I mean, free agent when he went out to LA.
So it was 1990, and he came up in 82 or 83, so 70. He's probably, I would say he was probably 27, 28 maybe. Because he was drafted at 18 right out of Crenshaw High School as a senior.
So he's March of 12th, 1962 is when he was born. So
28.
Yeah, so he's 28. But there was controversy around him.
Oh, yeah. Now, I would not have let him go like Frank Cashin did.
No, and no one, yeah.
But there were Doc and Darryl, as it's been, it's been documented. They had their issues. There's no question about it. They had their issues. And things actually, while the first year in L.A. went well for him, after that, I mean, he got into all sorts of trouble. Then he wound up going to the San Francisco Giants, who made him, or maybe they actually hired his brother, who was a cop, to follow him to make sure he didn't get into trouble, still found his way into trouble. And then George Steinbrenner came in after he went to the Minneapolis, what was that team? God, I used to... We talk about following box scores. I used to get the box scores of that Minnesota Independent League team just to see how he was doing. That's how crazy I was of a fan. But yeah, I mean, there were issues, and that's why they let him go, but a lot of people didn't agree with it.
Like, so, you know, Pete Alonso is more David Wright than he is Darryl Strawberry. David Wright was never going anywhere.
He's a goofball, but he is such a good face for this franchise because he just seems like a good kid who just wants to play and win for the Mets. If you had nine of those guys, you'd have the greatest team ever.
Yeah, right. Because that's, I mean, and he really does want to win. I mean, I think he wants to be everybody.
And here he wants to win.
Yeah, and he wants to be paid, you know, like the other players in the league that are like him, like his peers. And I understand that, but I would love to see that. Scott Boras would never let that happen, but
it's such an interesting conversation and mind-boggling too. So, like, when you think about Soto, and I'm not getting into any metrics or stat or nothing like that, but when you think about Soto as a player, this guy just got almost, and this is, I'm not exaggerating, he got almost.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
$1 billion of a contract. He's an average, at best, outfielder. At best. He's a good hitter. That's like he's getting paid to hit. That's what he's getting paid to do. Alonso gives you, I think, beyond solid. I think he's an above average first baseman. He's a hell of a fielder. He's one of the better home run hitters we have seen. And I know last year was bad. I don't care what the numbers say. Last year was not a good year. He's one of the most prolific home run hitters right now in baseball and has been for the last 7-8 years. And yet we treat him like, give him 4 years. What are you out of our mind? But we'll give this guy who can't play right field without tripping over himself 17 years and $400 billion. It's hilarious.
Do you think if he had a different personality that those things that you're talking about would go away?
In what way? What do you mean? Not being a goofball?
Yeah, like I feel like because of his goofiness, he's not taken as seriously. Like, think about, like, you know, David Wright was a captain. Like, he had a little bit of an aura. He was a baby-faced guy, had more of an aura about him. And like, being the guy who was the face of the franchise, you'd slap on the media guide every single year. I mean, Aaron Judge has this presence, never says, the wrong thing. Not that Pete does, but he's got this presence. He's a huge man.
Sure.
You see him. Like, Pete's like, you know, he's not in the greatest shape, but he's a goofball. So, like, if he had the same exact numbers, same age, everything, but looked more like and acted like Bryce Harper, I'm telling you, it would be different.
So you think there's a part of it where he gets taken advantage of?
I do.
Because of his personality.
I do.
But isn't that what the agent's for? Like, how much of negotiating is he actually? I mean, hell, the way we understand it, the only way they actually got this deal done was him going face-to-face with Steve Cohen.
You know, and it's another one of these things, too. Like, if you remember when he came up, like, he was never even taken all that seriously in the minors. Like, he was hitting home runs, and people were like, well, who is this? I remember Ed Coleman one time was on years and years ago. He's like, well, I might call up Alonzo. Do I think he's going to be a great player? No. Could he have a couple home runs? Yes. He might be a 4A player. Like, it wasn't like he was drafted number one overall and he was coming up through the system. People were like, I can't wait for this guy. You know, and then people would go see him.
Yeah.
Like, wow, look at the numbers that this guy's putting up in the minors. You go see him, like, you see this, like, halfway pudgy, you know, balding goofball. And he'd be like, him? He's going to be the face of the franchise?
I get that. But you know what the face of the franchise for me is? A guy that hits a home run in the last inning of a game that's going to eliminate you from the postseason and instead sends you on to the next round. A guy who hits a big home run in the next round against the Phillies. I get it.
I agree with everything you're saying. I think that it's a shame. And I just think that that's happening and it's silly. I just think that there are certain...
You want an edge to him.
Yeah, I mean, or just like more, like he doesn't really exude, like, I'm the man or the confidence in like, it just, it doesn't.
Like, he's not the alpha.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and also like the goofiness with the home run derby and the kiss and the bat and the weird stuff he would do. And
you're not wrong, but I still think at the end of the day, if I had to make a decision on who I want to give my money to, there's not a better example of someone I would want to pay.
And same here, you know, and people will hear what I'm saying and totally misunderstand it. I'm playing devil's advocate in the sense with Pete and just saying, why is it when you just take away, you just look at his career and look at his numbers and look who he is and all of the things, why isn't this a slam dunk? Like, I would sign him to a contract during a season.
If we're just talking baseball, my answer to that would be the age, and they're worried about him falling off the cliff because he's about to hit where he's at in his 30s, that would be my answer. But I do think track record means something, and I do believe you can still project some pretty good numbers at his age. He's not 40.
No, and that's why you did.
Agreed.
1 year, this year, plus four.
Yep.
Bang. There you go. There's your contract. Frank in Saddlebrook. What's going on, Frank?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I've been a Met fan since 1962, and you guys brought up Keith Hernandez and John Olerud, two outstanding individuals and ball players. And Keith, I thought, is the greatest all-around Met of all time. But I also think with John Olerud's stats going back to Toronto, going forward, he is Keith Hernandez's equal, maybe not defensively, but all around. I was wondering what your thoughts are.
He was a great offensive. He was a really good defensive player, too, but he was a great offensive player. Didn't he have some years where he batted 350?
Yeah. I mean, and his defense was phenomenal. You remember that? That 99 Mets team, I was the best defensive infield that they ever had, and he was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Keith was Keith all around. And, you know, I'd have to go through and comb through the numbers, which I'm not necessarily going to do. But I mean, both those guys, phenomenal careers. I mean, I'll always be partial to Keith.
Real, before we go to break, how about this? How about this season with Toronto? 158 games played. He batted 363.
Yeah.
363. That's pretty impressive.
How many strikeouts?
I bet you not many, because he was not a strikeout. Let's see. So I'll give you the at-bat. Here are your plate appearances. 679 plate appearances. How many strikeouts? You want to take a guess?
55.
You're pretty close. 65.
Wow.
Think about that with what we watch every day now in baseball, where it's okay to strike out 230 times a season. 65 strikeouts.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great player that does not get talked about a ton.
Yep.